far, I think, where we're at tonight. Unless the announcement. Are you putting it together, Lisa? Okay, we want to send a package to Dan Bardwell a couple weeks from now. So if you'd like to put anything in the box besides rocks, because that makes it more expensive, see Lisa on that one. Okay, came across an interesting law. This is in Australia. They seem to be more advanced than we are on some things. This is the basis for their national sales tax. It's 10% sales tax in Australia. And this is what the commissioner can do under the act. This is a legitimate act, 1999. And here's what it says. For the purposes of making a declaration under this subdivision, the commissioner may, okay, this is the commissioner, he can declare this. Letter A, he can treat a particular event that actually happened as not having happened. And letter B, he can treat a particular event that did not actually happen as having happened, and if appropriate, treat the event as, subsection, having happened at a particular time and having involved particular action by a particular entity. And letter C, treat a particular event that actually happened as having happened at a different time from the time it actually happened, or having involved particular action by a particular entity, whether or not the event actually involved an action by that entity. In other words, he can make up anything he wants, any time he wants, and say that you are the one that did it. That's 1999. That's the basis of this national sales tax for Australia. So, ain't that wild? And they think we're nuts. There's an act in the U.S. Code Act 50 where the military and the government can practice any biological warfare upon the citizens of this country. I mean, that's why they were supposedly winning to Iraq, because he poisoned his own people, but yet our government can do the same thing. Isn't that phenomenal? And all this stuff is, you know, you find it. They have to publish this stuff. And this blew my mind when I read this. You got to be nuts. Now, actually, what this is consistent in evolution. All things are relative. Now, an evolutionist, if you ask them this, is everything relative? They would say, yes. And then you could ask them, are you absolutely sure about that? Of course. But they can't be. You know, all absolutes are relative, or everything is relative, or it can't be everything. It's got to be relative. Relative, relative is relative. And it don't make sense. But that's what happens when you get evolution. Of course, Australia, in the north part of the country, they have a city called Darwin. You know, and that's where all that stuff goes. Okay, let's get to some authority, something that's got some stability, some basis. Psalm 124. Okay, Psalm 124. This psalm is virtually impossible to figure out except through doctrine. 125 is similar to that. But 124 specifically. If a person just reads through the Psalms devotionally, this song makes absolutely no sense. And of course, that's how most people read the Psalms, devotionally. And I guess that's why they like it, because it doesn't make any sense to them, so they can make it say what they want. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you'd help us to understand your words. I pray you'd help us to be students that rightly divide the scriptures and know how to apply them. I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your words and honor them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. Okay, so we can see here our, in the context, is the nation of Israel. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. So far, so good. Not too bad. Next verse. Then they, the men, had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Now at that point, is he speaking literally? Is he saying they actually can swallow them as in eat them? These men. Okay, if we're going to take the Bible literal here, whoever's writing this, is he saying that they are in danger of being eaten? Now, you know, I've gone through some of this before, and I have several cross-references there. At the word swallowed, if a person says this is figurative, at the word swallowed, letter S, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 references that imply the same thing. You could also throw in there Jeremiah 51. I can't remember the reference. So we got a dozen. There are more. If you run all those cross-references, I'll have other ones there. The implications of verse 3 is an Israelite of verse 1 is endangered of being swallowed by someone. Okay, I don't have Micah. I noticed that too. I don't have Micah 3, 1 through 4 in there. There's number 13 reference. You also got Romans 8, where it says we are sheep being led to the slaughter. That would be around around 35, 36. So we're up to 14. Okay, then they, the men of verse 2, had swallowed us, the Israelites of verse 1, swallowed us up quick when their wrath, the men of verse 2, was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. What water? Is that H2O? Waters in the context. Now, what I use for that one is I run into Revelation 12, 13, and 17. It could be that. Verse 5, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Okay, so that's why I went with the waters. Verse 14, I went with waters that's recorded in Revelation 12. And let's go ahead and look at that so you can see what I'm talking about. That one, it appears to be literal H2O like a flood. Revelation 12, verse 13. And then verse 5, the proud waters. How can water be proud? Okay, a type of water that can commit the sin of pride. Not H2O, that's a different type of water. Revelation 12, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Okay, the dragon, Satan. Earth is obvious. The woman in the context is Israel. Michael had beat up Satan in this battle, kicked him out. He is thrown down to earth. 1 Peter 5 says he walks on the earth to and fro, looking, seeking whom he may devour, as in eating. Okay, if we're going to go literally. Verse 14, and the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. That's Saudi Arabia. That's Petra. Into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. A time, 1 year, times 2 years, half a time, 3.5 years. From the face of the serpent, hiding in the wilderness, like in the old days, on Kadesh Barnea, eating manna, surviving on the manna that would come down. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water. That's why I went with this one of the first verse about water, looking like H2O. This giant beast, this Leviathan, this huge animal, this dinosaur, this Loch Ness monster. okay, has the capability to cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, the earth opened her mouth and was swallowed up, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Okay, this dragon, according to Job 39 and 40 and 41, this dragon can drink up the Jordan River. Okay, like remember a lot of the old Japanese shows, Godzilla and, you know, and all them things, and of course their lips never match the words. Okay, that stuff is based on the scriptures, but it's twisted slightly. The Twilight Zone, you know, monster type stuff. Okay, and this is what's happening in the tribulation. Of course, Satan is getting everybody geared up, and they're going to think they're going to watch television until they get eaten, and then it's too late to find out that it's not a game. Now, the proud waters of verse 5, I've chosen to go with the Revelation 17 cross-reference on that one, because this is water that has the capability of pride. Revelation 17 implies that would be people who can obviously commit the sin of pride. Revelation 17:15, he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now notice the word people is plural. Okay, when you say people without the S, that's plural. People with the S, that's plural. But in law and in Bible law, people without the S refers to a group of people, generally of one race. We the people. Okay, as far as our country began. When it's peoples, plural, that refers to multicultural races. The United Nations has in theirs, and it's written right, that they are, you know, justice for the peoples of the world. So when it's plural, like here in the scripture, where the S is laid on it, this is a multicultural, worldwide influence under the Vatican City. Okay, and that's why it's written like that. When it's a plural, it seems like it's a, it's like wet water, you know, it's, you know, repeating something over. Okay, but that's the reason why that people has an S on there. So if we go back to Psalm 124, whoever this large crowd of men is, verse 2, who are mad at the Israelites, and these men are wanting to eat the Jews. Okay, but the waters overwhelmed us. There's the dragon coming in and throwing water at them, but the earth opens up its mouth and helps them out. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul, where you have massive groups of people, the Muslims easily amassing a 200 million man army to go after the Jews and kill them. Okay, and so the proud waters, I use Psalm 18, verse 4. Also, I'll run there and see if that one helps us out. Okay, this one says, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now, Psalms 18 is very similar. It's not identical, but very similar to 2 Samuel 22 that David wrote, that psalm. And so the proud waters appears to be the Muslims coming after the Jews in the tribulation. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Again, is he being literal? Has to be. With all these cross-reference, has to be. Okay, given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. So this is a, you know, a close cause, they say. Okay, now that snare, the birds. Remember that Revelation 18, the Vatican City. And I still believe it is. Vatican City, the Vatican City that goes down into the wilderness, Saudi Arabia. When you get the Catholic Church and the Saudi Arabians together, you've got a killing machine, like World War II. Jeremiah 5, verse 26 shows that some political figures and religious figures will try to catch people in their nets. Jeremiah 5, verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. According to James chapter 5, how do people get rich in the tribulation? Through the mark? And what is the criminal name for it? Fraud. James 5, verse 4, the rich keep back their goods by fraud. Now, isn't that how everything is operating today? Every government policy today is operating by fraud. The whole banking industry is fraud. Every bit of it. And it's not, they're not done yet. Just think, it appears to me the way the thing's coming down is that the money's got to crash. It has to crash. Why? To usher in a cashless society. And as it crashes, the world will be in disorder, and some wise being will step in and solve the economic problems of the world. It's the economy, stupid. That's what they always said during Clinton administration. Doesn't matter about his perverted escapades. It's the economy. And so the Antichrist steps in with the authority of the One World Church to establish a One World Bank, One World Currency. Not a currency per se. It is a cashless society. You take a number and you can just deduct it off. You know, Democrats right now are trying to get a national ID so that we can get rid of the illegal aliens. Well, if they want to start with illegal aliens, try the White House. There's an illegal alien. I mean, come on. And I was reading something about, I read this on Sunday mornings on the radio broadcast. Did you notice that Michelle the Bell doesn't go with him to Saudi Arabia and Iraq and all these places? Now, Laura Bush would go with George, but she don't go with him. Why? Because they view him as a Muslim. He is a Muslim. And he knows Muslim protocol. And if they practice Sharia law, she can't go. And that's why she don't go. She'll go to France and go shopping and use Air Force One to go to McDonald's or wherever she wants to go. You know, but not to these Arab countries. And I got this other thing where, I don't know if I read it here, I know I read it down in Rensselaer, that if you look at the first ladies of past presidents, Mrs. Eisenhower had one personal staff that was paid out of her husband's salary. And Jacqueline Kennedy had one. And they skipped Nixon, skipped Lyndon Johnson's, Lady Bird, skipped Fort. Carter, she had one. Hillary Clinton had three. Who else in there? Laura Bush had one. And Michelle has 22 paid staff members. Costing the taxpayers $1.6 million annually. She's really concerned about she's creating jobs. That's what it is. I didn't think about that. Yeah, you have to stop obesity. Okay, and so he says, my soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of fowlers. Okay, and so that's what they're catching people and ensnaring them. Okay, the hour in the entire psalm is an Israelite. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. Now that verse right there, we could get some spiritual application out of that. How do you get spiritual application out of the rest? Well, maybe verse 1, you can look at this spiritually and say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and so forth, you know, God, if it wasn't for God on my side, you're not being real fix. Okay, but you're going to have to really skip a lot of those verses. You know, verse 3, I'm not really worried about somebody eating me. I'm not concerned about that. Now, in verse 8, this is something we can apply spiritually. Our help, the Jews' help, and your and my help, is in the name of the Lord. The name of Jesus Christ. The authority and power of Jesus Christ. Try, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 3. Where the Lord Jesus Christ has authority and power. Two separate words. Okay, if you look at government officials, okay, like a judge, he thinks he has the authority. And a lot of people think he has the authority. Okay, but he doesn't have the power. He has to have somebody with a gun to execute his purported authority. You know, if somebody wants to say to the judge, just look at him after he says, I order you. See you later, pal. He can't jump off the bench and start beating a guy's head in. You know, he's scared to do that. Okay, he's a chicken. He's a big man behind the thing when he's 4 feet above everybody else. But he gets out from behind there. He's got to have a brain dead, someone who doesn't think, to follow his orders with the power. Okay, a police officer who's like in a four-way intersection directing traffic, he has the authority to direct the traffic, point at certain things, and most everybody will yield to his authority voluntarily, and it's a smart thing to do, but he doesn't have the power. If an 18-wheeler comes at him and the brakes go out, he's going to be just another bug in the grill. Now, Jesus Christ has the authority and power. Where if the Lord Jesus Christ is directing traffic, he has the authority, but if that 18-wheeler comes and hits him, it's going to be like an accordion. He's got the power. So we have, because of the name of Jesus Christ, we have the authority and power through the name of Jesus Christ to resist Satan, and he will flee from you. He's a defeated enemy. Not by you and me, but by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, you see at the end of verse 21, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, verse 22, 1 Peter 3:22 says, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. The powers are also given further information in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Where, according to the 1 Corinthians, and let's look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power. What gives you and I eternal security in the New Testament is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that you and I, if you're born again person, as you and I, have the same power to live in newness of life. That's the same power. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Again, this entire chapter is about the resurrection. It says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority, and all authority and power. There are two separate things there. Well, actually three when you throw in all rule. Now, Matthew 28, verse 18, it says that all power is given unto Jesus Christ. All power. Now, all the new Bibles change that and say all authority has been given unto Jesus Christ. When you have the power, you've got the authority. But when you have the authority, you don't necessarily have the power. You see, and so that's why it's wrong what the new Bibles have done, is they've taken away the power of Jesus Christ. So spiritually, we can look at Psalm 124, that last verse, and we can access that power of the name of Jesus Christ. And you ought to. If you do not tap into that power, you're going to stay in darkness. Walk into a dark room and never turn a light on. And you complain that you can't see anything. It doesn't make sense to you. It's not clear to you. Hit the light switch. Turn on the lights. It is at your access. You should be a partaker of the divine nature. If you can't see some things that other people see who've lived longer than you, it's because you haven't hit the light switch. By the authority and power of Jesus Christ, resist Satan, and he will flee from you. And then your scales can be taken off your eyes, and you can see more clearly. That's the power we have in the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 124. That's about the only verse you can really take some spiritual application, but doctrinally, the only way to make sense out of that whole psalm is by doctrine. Okay, the next psalm. This one kind of falls in the same line. Okay, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Mount Zion, okay, I got the cross references. That's the New Jerusalem. Okay, that's when the Lord comes back, sets up his kingdom. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, prosper, peace, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Okay, great promise. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Okay, lot, remember, is a plot of ground. As in, you buy a lot. Okay, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Okay, remember that Satan can take up residence in a place. And so a promise here is similar to the promise in the New Testament where the Lord gives, when you're tempted, the promise is in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is that he gives you a way of escape. It's just that you got to look for the way to escape. So, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Obviously, under the Old Testament, the word righteous is used. We would use the word saved. So, this is a great promise. Now, when the wicked has rested upon a piece of property, a person can cleanse that property by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, remember, we have not a clue what happened on your property in years past. What does the Bible say when innocent blood has been shed? Okay, when Cain shed the blood of Abel, it says that the ground cried out for justice. Now, if you and I could hear, if God would let us hear what the earth says, we would probably hear the ground crying out. Because we don't know what happened in the past on this Indiana property. The murders. The killing. Okay, and here you buy a piece of property and the murderer has gotten away and buried your body down in the sand down there in Lake Village. You know, the mafia kill him up in Chicago. Take him down to Lake Village, dig a hole in the sand because it's easier digging. You know, and then go back up north. They don't want to dig it in clay. That's smart. I mean, that's not too bright digging and burying a body in clay. It's too hard to dig. You know, and then a farmer comes along, you know, and pulls up some of the body parts, and here comes the sheriff, you know, and they're never going to find out who did that. That ground is crying out for that innocent blood. And so a person has, you know, if something's going on in your property, then clean it up with the blood of Christ. And that's the promise we have. Because Satan takes... You know, why is it that in D.C., you ever notice this? I've noticed this through the years where you get a guy who appears to be conservative and strong conservative, and he gets in office and goes to D.C. and he becomes a moderate. That spiritual influence in D.C., the pentagram that's laid out in D.C., the spirits that are floating through there, the Washington Monument, which is a satanic symbol, you know, the Freemasonry temple there, the Masonic temple, the Mormon temple. I mean, the spirits are just flowing through that place. Two Luciferians laid out the road structure in that. Why are these Masons so infatuated with building buildings? It's because it's a magnetic draw. The shapes of the buildings, the types of the building, it's a magnetic draw to unclean spirits. They are drawn to idols like magnets. You see, and when somebody has a bunch of little idols up, you know, up here you got the Mary idol. Man, Satan is just flooding around there, or his devils. And so those things are magnetic draws, and so this is why people have such a hold. And when you deal with those people, and maybe they're bowing down kissing this idol, and you just say anything wrong about that, man, they'll go off on you and they'll want to kill you. It's that spirit that is, you've touched a nerve. You see, and they've been infested. And so we have the power through the name of Jesus Christ to clean ourselves up with these things. Verse 4, he says, "Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts." Now, with that verse, you and I can't apply that in the New Testament. Romans 3, there is none good, no, not one. You see? And so this is a doctrine, historically, under the Old Testament covenant. Doctrinally, it is doctrine for the tribulation time period, where it's a faith and work system where a person's goodness is determined by them keeping the law. Deuteronomy chapter 5, do I got that there? Or chapter 6? See. No, I put Proverbs. Psalm 34, and James 4, that's okay. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, is probably a gooder one, if they call it that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us." When they obeyed the law under the Old Testament covenant, it became their personal goodness, their personal righteousness. And God accepted that. Then verse 5, "As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel." The implications of verse 5, peace shall be upon Israel. But what if in verse 5, these people who are turning from their crooked ways are Jewish people? Romans chapter 2 said that there are some that say they are Jews and they are not Jews. And who are going to be the mastermind behind the workers of iniquity and the Antichrist? Well, who is it in modern day? Who is behind the Bolshevik Revolution? Who is the vast majority of the members of the Bolshevik Party? Jewish people. Over 300 Jews of the 360 party members. Who's behind the international banking cartel? Apostate Jewish people. Brother Josh? Yeah. Yeah, Revelation chapter 12. Okay, who's behind all the Hollywood stuff? It's the Jewish people. Now, you see, people that investigate this stuff, like Americans, the problem is they investigate this and then they hate the Jewish people when they still have the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. Now, verse 5 implies here that, okay, you have two Jews. One is trying to live a righteous life, trying to please the Messiah. The other has turned to his crooked ways. He's a real Jew in God's mind. He's the one that's going to be a partaker of the Abrahamic covenant. This one, going to go to hell just like any lost Gentile. You see, and the problem with the British, what's going on in America is you have this thing called replacement theology. Somebody asked me this question on the radio. It took me about 30 minutes to answer it. And what replacement theology is that somebody in the New Testament replaces Israel, becomes Israel. The Catholic Church believes it's them. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe it's them. The Mormons, they believe it's them. The British Israelites or the Aryans of America, the white Anglo-Saxon race, they think it's them. But all four hate each other. Brother Scott? Yeah. The Calvinists head that way when they go into post-millennialism. Okay? And so those are the groups that run that route. But the problem is that they don't take everything that goes to the Jews. So they pick and choose parts of what they want. And that shows the hypocrisy. So what we understand is, yes, we can recognize that it's apostate Jews who are the persecutors of the Christian faith. Paul said that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, these Jews are the enemies of the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come unto them to the uttermost. Now, I think it's the Revised Version changes that one where it says wrath has come unto them forever, which is not true. It's to the uttermost. That's what the tribulation time period is about. It's about God's wrath being poured out on Israel. Why? Because of what they've done in the past. Because of what they did to Jesus Christ. And so forth and so on. But that doesn't mean the Abrahamic covenant has been switched to the church. Why would I want a piece of dirt when I got to New Jerusalem? Why would I want a covenant when I'm in the family? These people are always talking about covenants. Who cares about covenants? They can be violated. I'm in the bloodline. The born-again believer is born of God. That's so much better than these covenants. If they want them, they can have them. Okay, so the workers of iniquity, of course, will be like the Muslims and the evil beings that do the bidding of the Antichrist. And this idea of them turning aside to their crooked ways, according to Ezekiel, do I have that there? Nope. Ezekiel 18, verse 24 to 27. Under the Old Testament covenant, when a man ceases to do righteous and starts to do wickedness, all his righteousness shall be forgotten. Okay, Old Testament covenant. And then verse 5, but peace shall be upon Israel, the true Israel. The Israel believers, the 144,000 Jews, and all the Jewish remnant of the tribulation. Not this white Anglo-Saxon stuff. This is the 10 tribes that are lost. God knows where they're at, has known where they're at for the whole time. Okay, and these are the Israelites, the remnant, the Jewish remnant at the tribulation time period, who are going to be the partakers of the Abrahamic covenant. So verse 5 would probably be a further explanation or a help to explain Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so, are they a Jew? Racially? Yes. But religiously, they got to be believing what the scriptures say in order to be partakers of that Abrahamic covenant. Okay, we got two of them done. That's about as far as we can go. Any questions or comments on what we covered?